Live from the College of Communication, Arts, and Sciences at Michigan State University, it is now time to go beyond the X's and the O's with WKAR's current sports.
You want to go after an athlete, one of my athletes, come after me. I'm a man. I'm 40.
My style is impetuous. My defense is impregnable.
Well, I'm the best corner in the game. When you try me with a sorry receiver like Crabtree, that's the result you're going to get.
Yes, did I express to them I was mad? I was furious. Just furious.
I know my wife will at least shut fake one time.
We talking about practice, not a game.
And I told our players, you need to be more like a dog. We don't need a bunch of cats in here. Yeah, looking in the mirror. Do I look good? I got my extra bands on. I got my other shoes on. Be a dog. We don't need no meows. We don't need no cats.
Here's your host, L. Martin.
What is up, beautiful people? Happy Friday, or as I like to say, Happy Fri-yay. That's right, you've made it. The end of the week is here. It is March 9th, 2018, and you are now locked into the most entertaining hour of your day. Welcome to WKAR's Current Sports. I am your host, Al Martin, coming to you live from Studio S right here on the campus of Michigan State University. Right here on WKAR AM 870, 105.1 FM. Still getting used to saying that. Welcome to the show. We've got a great one in store for all of you out there. Man, I can't believe that Selection Sunday is now just 2 days away. When Sunday comes, we will know that evening at 6 p.m. what the 60-plus team field will look like heading into the Big Dance. In my opinion, it is the most entertaining sporting event on planet Earth. I don't think anything comes close. And you guys know I'm a huge fan of the NBA. I love the NBA Finals. I love the NBA playoffs. The Super Bowl. I love, who doesn't love the Super Bowl, right? Love the Super Bowl. But I don't think there's any argument that the NCAA men's basketball tournament is the most entertaining sporting event on planet Earth. A one-game elimination tourney that eventually yields one winner. And we all know that Tom Izzo's Michigan State men's basketball team, as well as John Beilein's Michigan men's basketball team, both teams are going to make the dance. Where will these two teams be seated? Will either one of them get the opportunity to open up the tournament at least next week, Friday, in Detroit, downtown at Little Caesars Arena? We'll kick around the possibilities and talk about where the Wolverines will possibly land and where the Spartans will possibly land. And also, Tom Izzo has a message to all of you Michigan State fans out there in light of the semifinal loss to the University of Michigan on Saturday. Izzo is basically saying, hey, chill out. Don't panic. I got this, son. All right. So we'll talk about Izzo's comments. And I assume, you know, the Chicago Bulls actually come to Detroit to play my lowly Detroit Pistons tonight. Two teams that aren't great. My, oh, my, how the mighty have fallen. Right. I mean, there was a time where you looked at the Pistons and Bulls as two of the premier basketball franchises in the NBA. But they're two of the worst right now. And they will play against each other tonight at LCA. And possibly, you know, I mean, we saw the Michigan State men's basketball team actually at the practice facility of the Bulls earlier this week. So maybe, you know, there's a local tie with Denzel Valentine, Lansing's own Denzel Valentine, who played for Tom Izzo's team. He's now with the Chicago Bulls. So there's a local tie there. And maybe the team will take a break and check out the Pistons and Bulls tonight. Who knows? They saw Hamilton earlier on Chicago, and again, as I noted, played at the practice facility of the Chicago Bulls. So who knows? But we'll talk MSU and Michigan men's basketball, and we'll talk seeding. Also, I do want to get to Throwback Thursday. Well, we're actually gonna it's gonna be a weird show today because I really thought there were some really cool moments on yesterday's Throwback Thursday segment that we did not get a chance to get to. And two really important moments that I'm going to talk about today. So it'll be Throwback Thursday on a Friday. That won't take long, trust me, but it's a really cool segment with some pretty cool events today. And we will also welcome to the show a dear friend of mine who has a really cool story. His name is Greg Monahan, and he is a former on-field host for the Lansing Lugnuts, who has been battling something away from the gig and has been doing it with a smile on his face and showing a ton of courage also while embarking on this journey. Greg Monahan will join me live here in Studio S for a really cool Friday feature interview that you don't want to miss. And then we will close out the show on the back end with Reflection Friday. So all of that and so much more, if you would like to be a part of the show, again, multiple ways in which you can do so. Pick up that phone and dial 517-355-WKAR. 517-355-9527 is the number to call. You can also check out the live stream and join us there at facebook.com/currentsports. Comment below the video. I will do my best to read your comments throughout the hour. And you can even tweet me. Tweet me directly at Al Martin, WKAR, or tweet the show at WKAR_sports. But hey, you know what's next. Here are your current sports quick hit headliners. Get down. All right, and we start with a reminder that Selection Sunday is this Sunday. That's right, the 2018 NCAA Tournament Selection Show is set for Sunday, March 11th at 6 p.m. on TBS. Now, the entire 68-team field will be revealed. TBS will also air the Final Four and National Championship game on Saturday, March 31st, and Monday, April 2nd. The selection show will be 2 hours long. Greg Gumbel and Ernie Johnson will be the host. Clark Kellogg, Charles Barkley, who is incredibly entertaining because he doesn't know a lot about college hoops, but it's always fun just watching Charles on the broadcast because he's just an entertaining guy. So Clark Kellogg, Charles Barkley, Seth Davis, as well as Kenny the Jet Smith, those will be your analysts. So again, this Sunday, 6 p.m., TBS Selection Show. We will have coverage because that's a busy day for the Michigan State men's basketball team because they will have their end-of-the-year banquet at the Breslin. And after the selection show, I assume that Tom Izzo and the players will address the media. So I will have a two-minute drill report this weekend, Sunday night. Look for it at Facebook.com/currentsports, and we'll also have some content on our website at WKAR.org once we figure out where Michigan State will play and who they will play against. All right, a 4-run rally in the bottom of the sixth inning propelled number 21 Long Beach State to a 4-2 win over visiting Michigan State yesterday. The Spartans and 49ers were scoreless through four innings with both pitchers keeping the opposing offenses in check. The Spartans took a 2-0 lead in the top of the fifth when LBSU reliever Jessica Flores walked in two runs in the bottom of the sixth. The home team used a pair of MSU errors and three base hits to stage the 4-run rally to pull ahead. Christina Zalewski was the pitcher of record, 3-5. Scattering six hits over 5.1 innings, Jordan Watson faced four batters, allowing one hit and one run. MSU is currently taking on number 3 UCLA in Long Beach, California. I'll have a score update for you later on this hour.
Ed Warner will be Michigan's new offensive line coach. Warner, originally hired as a senior offensive analyst from PJ Fleck's Minnesota staff in January, took over for the recently departed Tim Drevno in late February as Michigan's new offensive line assistant. The move became official yesterday. Now, Drevno, who had served as Michigan's offensive coordinator and offensive line coach during Jim Harbaugh's first three seasons out in A-squared, again, he left the program shortly after Wolverines hired Florida head coach Jim McElwain as wide receivers coach with the possibility of becoming a coordinator. Warner's son, Edward, is a freshman linebacker right here at Michigan State University. The Chicago Bulls and Detroit Pistons meet tonight in NBA action at Little Caesars Arena. Tip time scheduled for 7 p.m. Chicago Bulls could use a win here after losing six of their last eight games. The Pistons are also reeling, however, and need a win to snap a four-game losing streak and have right now split their last eight home games. So this will be an interesting game between the Bulls and Pistons, two teams that are trying to get out of the doghouse, two teams that desperately need a dub. All right, a disastrous second period ended with the Winged Wheel, the Detroit Red Wings, being booed off the ice on a rare night at home. How embarrassing was that last night? They gave up three goals in the second period en route to a 4-0 loss to the Las Vegas Golden Knights at Little Caesars Arena. It was the first home game in nearly 2 weeks. And with the next not until March 20th, it's the second time this season the Wings have been shut out. The Wings are on the road at Columbus starting tonight. But yeah, the fans were not getting jiggy with it last night and let their voices be heard. A lot of boos at LCA last night. Can you blame them, though? All right, Michael Fulmer returns to the mound for his second start of the spring as the Detroit Tigers take on the New York Mets this afternoon. First pitch was at 1:05 p.m. The Tigers will use their regular lineup with one exception. Jacoby Jones will start in left field, giving Mikey Matuk the day off. Now, Alex Wilson, Enrique Burgos, Mark Montgomery, and Warwick Saupold are all scheduled to pitch in relief. Wilson could pitch three or more innings, and he's still being stretched out as a starter. The Mets will not be bringing Tim Tebow to Lakeland, unless you are wondering. And last but not least, it'll be likely, September, I should say, before the Pittsburgh Steelers fans see Le'Veon Bell on the field. And that's because the now twice franchise tag running back, he plans to skip training camp again and maybe the entire preseason if he does not get a long-term contract. Now, this is a story that we have been following throughout the week. Most of you have heard my rant on how Le'Veon Bell, I think that the Pittsburgh Steelers are doing the right thing here. The shelf life of a running back is not that long, just 2 years. I get it. I totally get it from a business standpoint, but Le'Veon Bell is not happy. So it's been reported that the Steelers are going to likely franchise tag him for back-to-back years now. And this is what Bell told ESPN.com's Jeremy Fowler. Quote, "Honestly, no. I'm not going to sit out. I'm going to be in the facility week one. It's going to be a rerun of last year. I'm not going to training camp. I'm not doing nothing else extra. OTAs, none of that. I'm going to strictly go to what I have to go to. I want to win every game. I want to have the best statistical career that I possibly can. So I want to play in every game that I can possibly play." End quote. The franchise tag is worth $14.5 million guaranteed in 2018 for Bell. Bell wants to average $14.5 million annually, and told ESPN the Steelers are offering $13.3 million. So the difference that we're talking about here is a little over $1 million, when it comes to what the Steelers are offering and what Bell wants. Petty? I think so. 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527. Again, we've got a great show as we keep it pushing here. Again, later on this hour, I will be chatting with Greg Monahan, former on-field host for the Lansing Lugnuts. He's also a student here at Michigan State University who has quite the story. You don't want to miss this Friday feature. But until then, let's keep it pushing.
Find some things to do, but you know what? I'm thinking about Gonzaga. I'm thinking about Butler back in the day. Thinking about Wichita State. They've all had these dilemmas. They've done all right. So I may reach out to a couple of those guys, but I think tomorrow will be an off day. We'll probably lift the next and then give another off day. Muhammad and those guys need, but we don't want to lose too much of that. I think they just need, we need to get better, but I think once we get to Selection Sunday, it will fly by this week, and we'll be ready to go wherever they end up sending us, because I think we do get, I can say we're in now, can I?
Yes, you can.
We're in. I can safely say that.
And that is how we start this Friday afternoon version of WKAR's Current Sports. I am your host, coming to you live right here on WKAR AM 870, 105.1 FM. I am your host, Al Martin. And real briefly here, I want to talk seeding, because many of you have a lot of questions as it pertains to Michigan State and the University of Michigan men's basketball teams and where exactly both teams should and will be seated as we now look forward to the selection show, which again will take place at 6 p.m. on TBS this Sunday. But you know, when looking at just first Michigan, I mean, you just heard John Beilein commenting there on the week off that the Big Ten now has due to Jim Delaney, Big Ten commissioner, deciding to have the Big Ten men's basketball tournament for the first time out in New York City inside of the mecca of hoops, Madison Square Garden. And don't get me wrong, it was a great event. Anybody who sat back and watched the Big Ten tournament and said, that wasn't cool, you're kidding yourself. You really are. I mean, it was a great atmosphere. You know, it started off rocky just because, I mean, you're talking about some lowly teams that were playing on that first day. I mean, who wants to watch Rutgers in Minnesota? Let's be real here. So that first day, you know, of the Big Ten men's basketball tournament was not great as far as attendance wise. But as the week proceeded, and to the weekend especially, I mean, you really started to see the fan bases come out and cheer on their respective teams. It was really cool. I mean, they had a sellout the last 2 days at Madison Square Garden, which was really cool. And you saw how the atmosphere was for the Michigan and Michigan State game on Saturday. You saw the atmosphere and how that was for the championship game between Michigan and Purdue. And Michigan really has already a very admirable fan base in New York City. A lot of Michigan alums actually live in the New York City area. Thought it was really cool to hold the Big Ten tournament. You know, and there's some that would argue out there, well, New York City? Really? I mean, New York City, nothing really says Big Ten in New York City other than what, Rutgers? That's about it, right? Now, I totally get that point of view, but, you know, it's New York City at the same time. This is the mecca of basketball. This is the most famous sporting arena in all of sports, Madison Square Garden. So I thought it was cool to have it there. But what I didn't like is holding this the week prior to the usually scheduled week in which just about every other conference holds their respective conference tournaments. So the Big Ten now has a complete week off now. And it depends on how you look at this. Depending on the team that you talk about, this opinion changes. Because I like the week off for Michigan State. Because, frankly, I think they need a week off to get their mind right. After losing to your rival twice. And that was a heartbreaker on Saturday. Michigan State needed some time off to refocus, to recalibrate, and look toward the big dance. I think this week off, you know, a team bonding, going to Chicago, going to see Hamilton, you know, possibly going to the Chicago Bulls game tonight. This is good. This is good for Michigan State. But if you're Michigan, on the other hand, I mean, this is a really hot team. Michigan is playing some of the best basketball in the nation. When you're hot, you want to strike while the iron is hot, right? You want to keep this thing going. You want to play like the next day after you win the Big Ten tournament championship for back-to-back years, I might add. So it's a catch-22 depending on the team that you talk about. Now, as far as seeding goes, as I briefly mentioned on yesterday's Current Sports, Jerry Palm of CBS Sports and Joe Lunardi of ESPN, these are two of the biggest names in bracketology. This is what Palm and Lunardi get paid for, to try and predict the bracket and to break down seedings and try and figure out what this field of 60-plus teams is going to look like as we now look forward to the big dance. So Palm and Lunardi each had MSU remaining as a number two seed playing in Detroit. Now, this was prior to the Michigan State and Michigan game. Now, after the loss to Michigan, Lunardi actually has Michigan State as a three seed out in Nashville playing UNC Greensboro. And he has Michigan also listed as a three seed playing in Wichita against Bucknell. Now, I don't know about that. I don't know, because I think that one of these teams is going to end up in Detroit at Little Caesars Arena. Now, that's going to be a Friday first-round game and Sunday second-round game. Now, again, the latest bracketology projections for Jerry Palm in comparison to what Lunardi has, Palm has Michigan State listed as a two seed playing in Detroit against UC Davis. Now, I think that's more logical if you ask me. So when comparing, you know, both what Palm and Lunardi have here in their respective projections in regards to Michigan and Michigan State, I lean towards what Palm has here, because I think that Michigan State is going to end up in Detroit. And I think that'd be really cool for the fan base. Yeah, it'll be really cool for the Michigan fan base or the Michigan fan base and or the Michigan State fan base, because both fan bases are right here in the state. Detroit isn't that far from Ann Arbor or East Lansing. It happened back in 2013, if you remember. Both Michigan and Michigan State opened up the tournament in Detroit. So it'll be really cool to see that again. And when you look at the two seasons that both Michigan and Michigan State had this year, I think it'll be cool to reward at least one of those teams with some home court advantage to open up the tournament. So Palm has Michigan State in Detroit against UC Davis. Palm has Michigan as a four seed playing in San Diego, as Ron Burgundy would say, San Diego. And that's actually your hometown, Kirill Vega.
That's right, it is.
Exactly, right? San Diego against Louisiana. So Palm said late Sunday that he did not believe the University of Michigan would receive a higher seed than Michigan State, despite the Spartans having three, only three, quadrant one victories. And this is something different. I haven't been a big fan of this year either, but I get what college basketball is trying to do here. You know, look at the resume. Who have you beaten? They're putting an emphasis on that, right? With these quadrant one victories, these quadrant two, quadrant three victories. So, you know, right now, Michigan State only has three quadrant one victories in seven games this season. All four of Michigan State's losses are among quadrant one teams, twice to U of M and once each to Ohio State and Duke. So if you're looking at the losses that Michigan State have had, I mean, they've been against some pretty good competition. And also, take it for what it's worth. You know, you can sit here and say, yeah, the Big Ten had a down year this season, and I totally agree with you. I mean, I went on a rant earlier this week when I went through Michigan State's schedule, and they really haven't beat any sexy competition out there. And the fact that the Big Ten just had some really awful teams this year, it didn't help that resume for Michigan State. But say what you will, Michigan State still is the outright Big Ten Conference champions. And that has to account for something. And this is a team that at one point was ranked as the number one team in all of college basketball. They have been ranked in the top five for a long part of the season in college basketball. So with that being said, I mean, you may look at it and say, okay, yeah, they've only had three quadrant one victories in seven games this season. At the same time, Michigan State has been looked upon in some really favorable light in the world of college basketball for much of this year. So we'll see. Now, when it comes to this week, again, there's a lot happening because even though, you know, the Big Ten had its conference tournament last week, the majority of conferences are embarking on that and have been embarking on that throughout this week with their own respective conference tournaments. Now, what's being reported, you ask? Well, much of what happens with Michigan State, with what I've been reading and due to my research this morning, much of what happens with Michigan State could hinge on, you know, Xavier and Cincinnati, because Detroit is the closest geographic spot to those two. Nashville and Pittsburgh, as I mentioned, are also potential options for even those Ohio schools as higher seeds. So there's just a lot to digest when trying to break down what could happen here. But if I had to predict, I think Michigan State is going to play in Detroit. I really do believe that. I think they're going to put them in Detroit at Little Caesars Arena come next week. Now, many of you, though, are really ticked off about the selection show. You know, I briefly touched on this yesterday as well. I mean, the selection show, again, reminder, if you don't know and you've been living under a rock, the selection show will take place this Sunday evening at 6 p.m. on TBS, not CBS. Very surprising. It's not going to be on, you know, local TV. It's going to be on TBS. You're gonna have to have cable or just simply go to NCAA.com to watch the selection show this Sunday. But the selection show, many of you are upset because the format is changing this year. Now, in the past, the broadcast has unveiled matchups in their respective brackets. This year, all 68 teams in the field will be revealed prior to announcing the matchups and locations. That's what the first 15 minutes of the show will be like. The first 15 minutes, these are the teams that have made it. The next 30 minutes after that is going to be centered on, all right, now we're going to tell you where these teams will play and who these teams will play against. Many of you don't like that format. Now, if you remember, you know, 2 years ago, the show lasted 90 minutes, which is far too long. This weekend show, 2 hours. Far too long. Far too long. So I'm with you on that. However, it's not like the entire 2 hours, you're not going to know. You know, it's not like they're going to milk it to where hour number two hits and you're still trying to figure out who's going to be playing where and against who. That's not going to happen. Within the first 40 minutes, you're going to know where your team is playing at. So you can start, you know, booking your hotels and booking your flights if you do want to catch your team. You're going to know within the first 40 minutes what the bracket looks like. 2 years ago, the show lasted 90 minutes. That bracket was leaked. That was a pretty infamous moment. But Harold Bryant, the executive producer and senior VP of production at CBS, told USA Today that all teams will be revealed, again, within the first 15 minutes. And I actually like that because you get to know early on in the show which teams are going to make it. And I have no problem with them spending the next part of the show, the next 30 minutes, saying, all right, this is where these teams will be. So you kind of, you know, those who are on the fringe, those teams who are on the bubble, don't have to sit there sweating for 2 hours. You will know if you're in the dance in the first 15 minutes. I like that. I like that a lot. Now, for those of you who are complaining that it is too long, well, let's be real here. You know, this is a ratings kick. That's what television is about. TV is all about ratings. Shows are all about ratings, all right? And you know that a lot of eyeballs are going to be on this show. A lot of teams, a lot of fan bases are going to be watching this show. Why not milk it from a business standpoint? I get it. I totally get it. But if you do push it too far, you're going to have what you had 2 years ago where a bracket was leaked. And I don't even know. We still to this day don't even know who leaked that bracket. But I'm curious. What are your thoughts? I like it. I don't see anything wrong with it. They're trying something new here. They're trying something different. I'm all about that. Do you dislike the new format of the selection show? Call in 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527. I see many of you already commenting on our Facebook page at facebook.com/currentsports via live stream. And you can even tweet us. Tweet me directly at Al Martin, WKAR, or at WKAR_sports. Carell, we'll get to Throwback Thursday in a second. I want to hit our first break right now. And after we get back from this break, we are going to welcome live here in studio Greg Monahan, former on-field host for the Lansing Lugnuts. And he has a really cool story to bring to you all. It's going to be our Friday feature interview coming at you in a matter of moments. You are listening to WKAR's Current Sports right here live on WKAR AM 870, 105.1 FM. Welcome back to WKAR's Current Sports. I am your host, Al Martin. And again, we just wrapped up segment A by discussing seedings for Michigan State men's basketball and the University of Michigan men's basketball team. A few of you are weighing in on social media right now via our Facebook page, and I see Chris. Chris says, I think MSU will get the 2 seed. At best, well, I guess he meant to say 3 seed at worst. 3 seed at worst. And he also says, interesting format, Al, when it comes to the selection show, which I don't really have a problem with. Again, we'll see how it goes. We'll see how it goes on Sunday. 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527 is the number to call. Right now, I want to get to our Friday feature interview. And this is a brother who I have certainly seen multiple times here as a reporter in the local area, because I tell you what, he brings it when it comes to doing his job as an on-field host for the Lansing Lugnuts. You know, countless Lugnuts games I've been to. He is the guy rocking the mic, you know, helping out and, you know, trying to get the crowd amped up on the field, you know, moderating the different events that they have. He is a ball of energy, And he's one of the best dudes also away from the gig. Just a really good dude. And, you know, I just happened to be on Facebook. And I'm just scrolling through Facebook. And actually, one of our listeners, Dave, by name of David, actually, he posted a picture on his Facebook profile with himself, along with our in-studio guest for today, Greg Monahan. Again, former on-field host for the Lansing Lugnuts. And he began to write out a really touching post about Greg's battle when it comes to his health, which we'll get to in just a moment. He has a really cool story, and he's a really good dude. And I want to introduce him for the first time here on our airwaves. Greg Monahan, again, former on-field host for the Lansing Lugnuts. Greg now joins me live here in Studio S. Greg, how you doing, my man?
Al, thank you. Thank you. I'm doing all right. Getting by. So happy to be here. You know, I've been listening to you for a while. I've always enjoyed you. You say I'm a ball of energy. You got that down too.
I try.
I like that last segment. You know, before we get into things,
yeah,
man,
yeah.
I am firmly in the camp of the way that they are doing it this year in regards to announcing the 68 teams first.
So you like this new format?
No, I am firmly in the camp that that is garbage.
You don't like the new format?
Sir,
now,
man.
Why is that, Greg?
Look, the excitement of, you know, having those bubble teams.
Right.
You know, having to wait down to that last reveal.
So you like the weight game for them.
Oh,
you
yeah.
like watching
oh, yeah.
them sweat and
oh,
bite their
yeah.
nails and just kind of go through this mindset of, oh, are we going to make the tournament? Are we not going to make the tournament? You like having
the
that
theater.
Drama. You
the
like
theaters.
The theater of it. They,
yeah, absolutely. You know, if I was on the team, I'm sure I would despise it.
Right.
But, you know, I guess it's an interesting way, you know, they're switching up everything these days, trying to make it, you know, new mm-hmm. All-Star games, stuff like that. So I'll give it a shot.
Right.
But, you know, I like the old way. I like
you like the drama then.
Making them sweat it out.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Well, that's Greg's point of view. I'm curious to hear from our listeners on that. we heard from one, that being, of course, Chris, 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527. All right, Greg, this is your first time here on
it
our
is,
show, which
yeah.
is a crime. So I want to start first by just, you know, asking you to tell a little bit about yourself, where you're from, and your journey towards becoming the on-field host for the Lansing Lugnuts and how you got your foot in the door there.
Absolutely. You know, I would say that I probably have a pretty interesting journey, especially as I have ended up at Michigan State, because my hometown is Ann Arbor.
How about that?
Yeah, how about that? I lived in the same house my entire life. When I go home, I go to the same house that I was basically born into.
Right.
So
did you grow up a Michigan fan?
Huge.
Wow.
Huge, diehard Michigan fan.
Wow.
My grandma went to Michigan. My dad went to Michigan. Mm-hmm. My brother went to Michigan. My sister went to Michigan. And I applied, Al, and you know what? I didn't quite make the cut.
Really?
You
applied.
I applied to Michigan, and I did. You know, I had grades very similar to both my brother and my sister, and it seemed like the admission guidelines were getting a little harder each year. Mm-hmm. They both snuck in, and
wow.
I didn't make it. And you know what?
Were you disappointed when that happened? I'm pretty sure you were disappointed, right?
You would think so? No.
Okay.
And you know what? My parents are probably rolling their eyes through the back of their head right now, but I had lived, like I said, you know, in the same house my entire life, 8-10 minutes away from Michigan Stadium.
Mm-hmm.
I was ready for somewhere new.
Right. A change of scenery, right?
Exactly. So I applied to Colorado and to Grand Valley State. Didn't have the money for the out-of-state tuition at Colorado.
Mm-hmm.
Ended up at Grand Valley.
Okay.
And majored in broadcasting there. So I did 4 years broadcasting there. Had an absolute ball. My first real experience being behind the mic and trying to entertain a crowd rather than doing a, you know, like a news-style format where you're basically just talking to a camera rather than having a live crowd was I got into stand-up comedy.
Did you?
Yeah.
Man, you are a jack of all trades. I had no idea that you dabbled in stand-up comedy, which makes it easy, you know, if you're trying to become a host, you know, and entertain a crowd. I mean, comedians, I admire them so much because you have to command a room with humor.
Oh, yeah.
And everybody's sense of humor is different. I mean, that's a gift. That's a gift. So I'm sure that helped in trying to, you know, get your feet wet in broadcasting.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, it it sure did. And that was, you know, that was something that I even mentioned when I applied and got ended up getting the job at the Lugnuts. Because I did 4 years of stand up at Grand Valley, and it culminated in I opened in front of 4,200 people for Bo Burnham.
Really?
Yeah, in 2011.
So you were pretty good at this thing.
I guess so. I guess so, man.
Right.
Yeah. So I had a lot of success in contests that we ran on campus. We had every year there was a show called Last Laker Standing, which was kind of play off of Last Comic Standing, which mm-hmm. was a show back in early to mid 2000s, maybe even late.
Yeah.
And so we would always have we'd have an audition, we'd have had semis, and we had finals. I always made it to the finals. Always lost to this guy named Greg Court. So I came in second place 4 times.
4 years in a row.
Yeah, man. I was always the bridesmaid.
And this guy won all
Greg
4 years?
Greg Court just swept the house. And let me tell you, Greg Court and I are close friends. He is hilarious. He deserved it. Three of the four years.
You thought you got him 1 year.
He even told me I'm getting way off track here.
No, you're fine. You're fine.
He even told me the fourth year. He's like, you know what? Apparently it was a very, very close vote. He's like, you know what? I think this year it should have been you. But
and hey, he admitted that.
Right. He did. And that year they ended up, I don't know if it was like a gift that, since I got second, you would think that the person who got first would open for Bo Burnham,
right?
But they went with me. I got to do 15 minutes in front of 4,000 people.
Wow!
And I mean, it's all I worked on for like a month straight. And like, I'm not trying to pump my own tires here, but I killed it as well as I could have. The crowd loved it.
That's amazing. And under 4,000 people. You know, that's something that, you know, to equate it to me. I mean, when I did Midnight Madness for the first time.
Oh yeah.
And I'm sitting there and I get out there on the court, and you know, it's one of those things that you're so, fear is such an interesting thing, isn't it? Because fear, and I just had a Snapchat post about this yesterday. You know, fear is such a load of crap, isn't it? Because you're fearful when you think about, you know, trying to accomplish a feat, right?
Yes.
We all get afraid, right? Especially speaking in front of, you know, 4,000 people, 10,000, 20,000 people. That's very intimidating. But I remember I was so nervous. And I never get nervous. But it's like once you go out there and you just do it, and as soon as you start talking,
yes,
all of that goes away.
It's
gone. And you look back at fear like, why was I so afraid to do it, right?
Right.
But that's amazing. And I'm pretty sure you've probably felt the same way. I mean.
Oh, absolutely. Just about every time I speak in front of a crowd. You know,
right.
I'm like, oh, man, you know, what am I going to screw up this time? And then at the end of it, you know, I've got a smile on my face. I'm feeling better than I did, before everything started.
Exactly.
And I realize, oh, you know, that's why I like this. That's why I enjoy doing
right.
stuff like this.
Amazing.
Know?
Okay, so you go from stand-up.
But you're fearful, too. So
yeah. Yeah, you're fearful. Exactly.
And then it disappears.
I always say, you know, a famous Will Smith quote, who I love, and Will is crushing it on social media as well. He's like the motivational speaker on social media
yes.
now, right?
Yeah.
But he says something that I always quote all the time. Everything that you want is on the other side of fear. It truly is, man.
I like that.
So for you, you go from stand-up to trying to do broadcasting. How did you end up at Michigan State and with the Lansing Lugnuts?
Yeah, so, wow, another kind of interesting story. I leave Grand Valley, and I get an internship immediately with the West Michigan Whitecaps.
Mm-hmm.
Same Class A Midwest League. They play the Lugnuts, you know. The
exactly.
Same division.
Right.
I'm a multimedia intern there, which, you know, I do a lot of Photoshop work and updating the website during the day. And then during the games, I play all the music. So it kind of got me, we had a heck of a on-field host there. His name
right.
is Bob Wells. He's been there for 25 years or something. He's a legend, man.
Right.
And so I kind of picked his brain. And throughout the season, I was thinking, man, I'd really, really like this job someday. And, I ended that internship and, you know, kind of forgot about it. Landed a job with the Detroit Red Wings
mm-hmm.
As their PR assistant, as a copywriter.
Mm-hmm.
I worked there for about a year until the lockout hit. Then I worked for a PR office for about another year. and I decided that PR wasn't really my thing. Especially, I had a brutal drive, man. I wasn't making enough money to live by myself, and I'm living in Ann Arbor, and I'm driving to Southfield every day.
Wow.
And, man, like 696.
That's like an hour long
696
drive.
Is the road where the highway where dreams go to die.
Right.
Trust me.
Right. I'm telling you, man, I mean, that's a long to commute that often.
Right.
From Ann Arbor
days a week,
to Southfield. That's no joke, yeah. Man. That's dedication, though.
Yeah.
I will say that.
Well, I didn't dedicate myself that long because I decided it was time to apply for grad school.
Right.
And so I applied here. And this is the only school I applied to. Because I knew it had the best journalism program in the state. So I apply here, and, you know, all my parents and my brother and sister, they kind of laugh at me and stuff, and they're like, oh, you're going to be a Spartan, huh? And I'm like, yeah, you know, we'll see. I get accepted. I decide, I'm going to, you know, change things up, and I'm going to go into, journalism. I'm going to try this, the whole actual journalism side of things rather than PR, which is there's a pretty fine line between the two. So I start here, and the first thing I do is I join Focal Point, which I know you're aware of.
Yeah, of course. Bob Gould, man.
Bob Gould.
Professor here at MSU. Shout out to Bob. I'm sure he's probably watching right now.
Bob, indeed. Man, yeah. What a guy. He has helped me maybe more than any professor here at Michigan State. I started with Focal Point, I have a blast there. It's one of the hardest classes, most demanding classes I ever take, but it kind of gets me back behind a microphone and feeling good. And that semester's going to end, though, and I need to find something for the summer.
Mm-hmm.
And I liked the, I was a fan. I liked the Lansing Lugnuts on Facebook. All I did was they put a thing out saying, hey, you know, are you entertaining? Can you speak in front of a crowd? Would you like to be our on-field host? And it just pops into my head. I'm just thinking of Bob Wells back at the Whitecaps.
Right.
And all the things he did, I was like, hey, this is my chance, man. And my best friend from Grand Valley had had been the number two broadcaster there the year prior.
Okay.
So he kind of threw in a good word for me, too.
Right.
And I think at least, like, snuck me in for an audition.
Amazing.
Audition went really well. I get a call about a week later, and I get the job. And it is, I did it for 2 years, 2014.
And you were amazing at it as well, my
2014,
man.
2015. Yeah. Thank you so much, Al. Thank you. I took more pride in that job, and I take pride in all of them, but in that job than I did any other. Because it was exactly what I wanted to do, and I really loved, bringing smiles to, you know, fans' faces, whether they were, 90 and, you know, in the wheelchair accessible area, or if they were the 5-year-olds that we were singing to.
Definitely.
On the field.
Definitely. You brought up, I'm pretty sure many of our listeners out there are commenting and listening and saying, oh, yeah, I know Greg. You know, those who have been to a Lugnuts game.
Yes.
That voice sounds familiar, I'm sure.
If you went to a Lugnuts game in 2014 or 2015, I didn't miss a game, so you saw me. I was
definitely
100% was there.
That's amazing, man. Yeah. And again, you are really, really good at it, dude. So, you know, and I want to highlight, you know, we got 10 minutes left here, but I want to highlight now what you've been battling and what this battle has been like for you. For those that don't know, because I didn't even know until this week, to be honest with you, because I find it so admirable. I mean, heck, you're wearing a Spartans Will Recover shirt. So just kind of can you talk about, you know, what you've been battling and what this journey has been like?
Yeah, so, this is really the crux of the conversation here. So since I've been 13, maybe 14, it was right around my birthday when I turned 14, I have had ulcerative colitis. And ulcerative colitis is a disease of inflammation of your large intestine. It is a lot like Crohn's disease, which many people may have heard of if you haven't heard of colitis. Crohn's disease is actually worse because it can get your small intestine too.
Mm-hmm.
So I battled this throughout high school. The thing with colitis is sometimes you'll find medications that work, and then they work for about 3 or 4 months, and then they stop working. And the symptoms of colitis are really, really unpleasant. At my worst, I was going to the bathroom 20 times a day. I left the Lugnuts and I withdrew from school in 2015. From 2015 until I got my surgery in July of 2017, I didn't sleep for more than 2 hours at a time because I had to wake up to use the bathroom. You lose blood while you're going to the bathroom, so I became severely anemic. I lost a lot of weight, and it just kind of made me reclusive in general. I lost contact with a lot of my friends. I didn't put anything out there to explain what was happening to me, which is why people like you and anybody else who isn't intimately close with me wouldn't have even known what was going wrong. Because, one thing with ulcerative colitis is that you'll lose some weight, but it is very much a disease that can kind of be invisible unless you are really, really taking a hard look at the person. So, I was at 165 pounds. I've always been skinny, and I went down to 120.
Wow.
So I was really, really skinny. But, I still had, it's not like my face looked frail or anything.
Mm-hmm.
So a lot of people don't really recognize how sick a person can be. And this is the case with a lot of diseases. It's kind of one of those things where, you don't know anything. If you see a stranger, you never know their whole story.
Right. Right.
So, It was a disease that I had fought since I was 13, and I fought it through. It got bad for a while after I graduated undergrad. I had to take some time off from the Red Wings, but it never really got bad to the point where I was basically useless until the end of 2015. I remember working the Lugnuts in 2015, I started realizing that I'm getting pretty sick. We would all go run off and have a kid race Big Lug from first to third base at our inning break. And then I would run off the field and I'd have to go to the bathroom. And then get ready for make sure I'm all ready to go the next time three outs are made and we have to be out on the field.
So it really started to affect your work, right?
Right. It did. And I couldn't run as far. I found myself getting just gassed. So I wasn't able to be as fun, really. And things really kind of progressed, and I had to withdraw from school. That season ended. I was able to finish the season, and I was starting work on a project that was related to baseball. But I got too sick to the point where I had to withdraw from school basically took 2 years off. I moved to home. Had to live back with my parents. God bless their souls. They are the most supportive, amazing people I could ever ask for. But, when you are 25 years old, the last thing you want to do, especially after living on your own, the last thing you want to do
is move back
is
with mom and pops.
Yeah.
So
that was really tough on me. And I just basically, made weekly visits to U of M where they would give me these new trial drugs because everything I had tried had not worked. And the trial drugs worked about as well as the drugs that I had been trying before that. And I spent 2 years, I made a mistake. I tried too long to heal myself through medication rather than surgery, which is what I ended up doing. Spent 2 years of basically failing with these trial medications. And I finally, in July, elected to get a total colectomy, which in layman's terms means they completely removed my large intestine. It's all gone, man. It's
large intestine gone.
Yeah.
So you can live without your large
intestine.
You
can live without your large intestine.
Okay.
Yeah, not everybody.
Obviously, right? Or else
right,
you wouldn't be
yeah,
sitting here,
here
talking
right.
to
my
me.
My heart's beating right here.
Right,
yeah.
right.
Yeah, not everybody knows that, but it is I'm not going to get into the science of it, but it is something that you can live without. It changes your life a little bit. Right now my situation is I've got a colostomy bag. So what they do is they take your small intestine and they basically poke it through the front of your stomach and you go to the bathroom through a bag.
Gotcha.
And 3 days from now, Al, 3 days, I am getting the reversal surgery, as they call it, where they reconnect me back, sans the large intestine. And I lose this bag. I look like a normal person again, except with a bunch more scars.
Yeah.
And And I, there's a long healing process, and I start to, live a normal life again.
So this will alleviate the frequent bathroom
yes.
trips, and so this essentially heals you, right?
Yeah. Wow. Some doctors call it a cure.
Right.
I'm like, yo, is this a cure or is this like a still pretty inconvenient workaround?
Yeah.
But it is, it is a massive help.
Amazing.
And, I don't know how much time we got left.
We got about 3 minutes, but
so what I am doing now, I want to transition to how I'm finishing up my degree, because as I mentioned, I was doing a project on baseball before, mm-hmm. kind of lost interest in that, and I wanted to do something where I'm trying to make an impact with people who have experienced something similar to I have in regards to colitis. And so what I'm doing is I'm working with a couple of professors here at the J School and one out of the College of Nursing, mm-hmm. and I'm writing a book proposal. It's tentatively titled Laughing My Guts Out.
I love that title.
Thank you. So you know how, as I mentioned, I've got a background in stand-up comedy, and I got this background of 15 years of ulcerative colitis. So I'm trying to write this book proposal, which will take a not always, I don't want to say lighthearted, but kind of like funny, like grimly fascinating look at the disease, you know, where
right.
people, especially those who have it or have loved ones who have had it,
right.
They'll be able to read through it and kind of chuckle a little bit while being like, oh, my goodness, I relate to this.
Because they need, you know, when you're going through something like that, I can only imagine what it's like. But when going through something like this, you need those lighthearted moments, right?
Right.
It does so much to help in the healing process as well, I'm sure.
Right.
So that's fantastic. So with just about 30 seconds left here, Greg, so you're writing this book proposal.
Yes.
Is there a timeline? And how can people get involved, those listeners out there, if they want to get involved and know more about this?
I would say first thing, best way to contact me, hit me up on Twitter, at Greg Monahan, GREGMONAHAN. I am writing this book proposal, which means I am going to be submitting it to publishers.
Mm-hmm.
If they buy into it, that's when I've made it, man. You know, so
love it.
Hopefully that they will be able to, you know, hopefully it only takes one. And I'm doing a lot of research on publishers who are interested in that kind of thing. So I'm gonna pitch that. And I'm probably going to bug you if this
Please.
If this thing ends up getting published. So,
you know, this was
sit back at this desk again. Sometime.
Definitely. You will certainly be back, my man. And please keep us updated on how the progress of that proposal is coming. And we'll keep our listeners updated, man. But we got to get you back on the show. And hey, keep up the good fight, man. We're all rooting for you in 3 days,
you,
dude. All right. Greg Monahan, former on-field host for the Lansing Lugnuts. That's a great way to end the week, folks. We'll see you Monday. And as always, be easy, people.